Another 2 hours of Jewish soul. You know, I'm not saying 2 hours of Jewish soul music because, as you are aware by now, the 3 weeks are upon us and I've decided to do interviews. As a matter of fact, I believe that I will be doing many more interviews and just keep them to the first hour or some forthcoming weeks, and we'll get back to Chazonus during the second hour. For this show of number 304 for July 20th, 2015, the first hour will be interviews with cantor Netanel Hershtick and cantor Joel Kaplan. During the second hour, we'll be hearing from cantor Sherwood Goffin, cantor Chaim David Burson, and maestro Eli Yaffe. So without further ado, let's go to the Netanel interview. I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone Netanel Hershtick, who is one of the outstanding cantors of this generation. Shalom. How are you, Netani?
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Okay. Thanks for taking the time to be with me.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you may or may not know, but I decided because of the 3 weeks, there was always a problem of what to play, what not to play. So I've gone about interviewing leading cantors and people involved with Zevi Muller, Yaakov Motzin, Yossi Malavani, Shimmy Miller, your dad, Naftali.
I'm in good company.
Danny Gildar and Levi Connis and others. Yes. So let's start with, first of all, tell us where you were born and where you were raised.
I was born in London in 1978, and I did not live a lot in London because my parents, 4 months after I was born, moved back to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where I spent most of my, that's where I grew up in Israel. My father, as he moved back to Israel, assumed a position in Heichal Shlomo, which years later became the Great Synagogue of Jerusalem. And served there for 30 years, I believe. And that's where I grew up. That's my backyard.
Uh-huh.
So with Naftali Hershtick, Eli Jaffe, Raymond Goldstein, these are like, people I grew up with. And that's the music that I was raised on.
You were in the choir.
Well, I used to be a soloist. I did not sing regularly in a choir. It wasn't a choir for kids.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't the kids' choir per se. I was a soloist. I had to go up to sing my En Keloheinu, and then I could go back to my business.
I was just going to say, when I think of your wonderful En Keloheinu, what were you, 12 or 13 years old when that was? I have a great recording.
Well, it was from the age of 4 up to the age of 13, yes.
Really?
Every Shabbos, yeah.
How about that?
I had like many times to practice it, you know.
Uh-huh.
The frequency of Shabbosim, it's amazing. The Great Synagogue in Jerusalem provided, great frequency. It was like once a month, It was like every Shabbos. It wasn't a very long davening,
mm-hmm.
3 hours davening.
Right.
But it was every Shabbos. And every Shabbos, there's a chazan and choir, almost every Shabbos. They sometimes had a Shabbat off once a month or once in 2 months, depends on the season.
Uh-huh.
But that's where I grew up. It wasn't like once a month. It was every Shabbat.
And when did you decide to become a chazan?
Well, it's actually, I did not start with wanting to be a chazan when I'll be, what do you want to do when you grow up? You want to be a chazan? I actually didn't.
Uh-huh.
And I went to study law, and I had my rock band. I played guitar.
Did you say
all kind of other music?
Wait, did you say a rock band?
Yes. I produced, for years. And I still, by the way, have a lot of love and interest,
mm-hmm.
in other type of music.
Yes.
And still did not give up the dream of still doing, some contemporary stuff that is completely not chazan. It's a little bit more. Current music, pop, it could be pop, it could be jazz, it could be rock, whatever it is. New age, I don't know. I'm very open. I was raised in a very open home, and I really have an active interest in these types of music.
Uh-huh.
But when I grew up, I didn't think that Chazan is going to be my thing. I mean, it's not like as if I did not like Chazanis. I still, you know, quelled when I, you know, when I listened to my father's Birkat HaChodesh, or when I listened to my favorite pieces there. That was the place to be inspired and for your prayer to get the right meaning elevation. But I didn't want to be a chazan when I'll grow up. That wasn't in my plans.
So
how did it happen? You're asking me what happened?
Yes.
You see, what can you do? It's in your blood. So what happened was that when I was a student, a law student, I formed a choir, a small choir that accompanied Chazanim. And we actually had the privilege and the honor to accompany Shemaya Helfgott many times in Israel. When he just started, you know, when he's, I think the years he really, he wasn't that known, but he was just becoming, you know, this amazing megastar that he was, that he is. And the world started discovering Shemaya, and these were the years where I had like a small choir that used to accompany Shemaya every Shabbat Chazanut in Israel. And we also accompanied other Chazanim. We accompanied Yaakov Motzen, we accompanied, Chaim Adler, we accompanied, you name it. Mm-hmm. It was very successful. At the time, there weren't so many successful choirs in Israel. I did it together with Azi Schwartz, which is also, aside of being a great cantor, he was also a great musician.
Yes.
And it was very successful. And this way, you know, I managed the students to get my side money. You know, like I needed a little bit of, I'm a very independent person. I didn't like to ask my parents when I'm already an adult after army. I can go and work and then earn my own money and have my apartment and a car. You need to work for that. So that's what I did. And by doing that, there were certain Shabbosim where Chaim Adler loses his voice towards Musaf. And what can we do now? So they send the young Herstrick to David. There's no other thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or David Ullman, I remember one Shabbos, it happened to him, and you know, I was pushed to the Amot. What can you do? It happened once with Rand. Go to the Amot, David, you know, he's sick. And this is how things happen. You know, you find yourself in the Amot with a choir, and you see that you know how to drive that car. You know what to do.
Uh-huh.
It's not first time that it's in your blood. You really know what to do. You know the nusach. You know everything. Of course, it takes a lot of polishing. It takes a lot of voice lessons. It takes a lot of investment after that. But my starting point, I was very lucky that my starting point was very natural. It was very smooth.
Did you draw choir members from the TAKI, Tel Aviv Cantoral Institute?
Yeah. If you know, we always examined, determined who's going to be the right person by you know, looking into it, that singer's qualities. Is he a good musician? Does he read well? And we took some from the Tzachi choir, but some we took, you know, from all over Israel. It was a small choir, relatively small, 6 to 8, I mean, I think maximum 8 people. Uh-huh. And we every Shabbos went with other Chazanim. It was great. These were the years to do it. I was not married. I was, you know, I could go every Shabbos in a different place. And it was a great experience, you know, for these years.
And how did you come to the States?
After my wife, of course. Uh-huh. I married Tamira, and I came after Tamira to the United States. And then when I came to the United States, actually, Charlie, I don't know if you're aware of that, but I have a very interesting story to tell you. When Tamira and I got engaged, that trip, I had also I came to the United States for the engagement party, but I think that at the time of the engagement party, or maybe a little bit before, you had the concert, an unforgettable concert, one of your unforgettable concerts in Ali Stanley Hall, and I was the young talent there. I sang Zal Chaya by Yossel Rosenblatt.
Oh, yes.
It was the Yossel Rosenblatt Memorial Concert.
Yes.
And I sang one piece. I think that you introduced the young you know, the upcoming young talents. And he gave me, you and Benny, Lubeznitsky, gave me the chance, and I'll never forget that. You know, I got the stage. I got a very, very beautiful opportunity to sing in front of such a prestigious place, in front of such a crowd.
Yes.
And among some great chazanim. And Arthur Schneier was sitting in the crowd, and he sits next to my father-in-law, which happened to be my future father-in-law, Chaim
right.
Wiener.
Yes.
They sit next to each other. They're good friends. And somehow, you know, because, you know, I did not see Tamira for a long time. It was a long-distance relationship. And I stand on stage, and I see Tamira for the first time, because as I got off the plane, I went straight to the concert.
Uh-huh.
And it was for the first time I see Tamira, which I didn't see her like in weeks or months. And, you know, I give her a wink from the stage because I was so happy to see her. The concert was not that important as seeing Tamira, you know, uh-huh. even though it was such an opportunity. So when I finished singing, Arthur was asking Chaim, I see that you're, who is that young cantor? I see that he has something with your daughter, with Tamira. So Chaim tells him, well, this is Nathaniel, and they're dating right now, and it's very serious, and blah, 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 for days, you know. I was auditioned in Park East. I spent there a few months. It didn't work out, and you know. But I think that it didn't work out for the best reasons, like the way that Hashem
yes.
knows how to run the world and how to circumvent things. So this was how I got to the Hampton Synagogue, which were auditioning exactly as I finished in Park East, and they heard my name. They heard from other people recommendations, and that's how I ended up in Mark Schneier's show, and that's where I'm serving for the last 10 years. So that's
it's 10 years.
Here, have a nice story.
It's 10 years already. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember being at Park East at Friday Night Dinner with your Chaim and his and your mother-in-law, and your I think you were married at the time. I remember that scene a few times, so but it's hard to believe 10 years have gone by. So how did you come to the Hamptons? I mean, how were you introduced to Mark? Rabbi Schneier.
I was introduced to Mark by several of his congregants. At the time, the Hampton Synagogue was auditioning to replace Israel Rand, who left a few months before I joined the synagogue.
Uh-huh.
And the synagogue was desperately looking for a chazan, especially as the Amim Noraim was approaching. And at the time, I didn't even think that I have a chance in that synagogue, because here I am, you know, still, you know, kind of, you know, serving in Park East, not exactly knowing where it is going to go, but definitely Park East and the Hampton Synagogue at the time was not, you know, a couple. It was, mm-hmm. it was not, you know, not in such great terms. I had some politics there. And, you
yes.
know, I didn't think I even have a chance to go there. So, you know, at the end, so many people, and towards the end of the auditioning, they auditioned, I think, every important cousin in the world, maybe. And it wasn't the shelf for them. They were not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of the auditioning period, towards the end of the summer, when I already understood that Park East is not going to happen for me, and I already assumed a position in Florida for a yearly position in Florida for a couple of Shabbats in a year and Yalom Noraim, I was approached by Mark Schneier after so many people have told him that, you know, I'm the right person to take the job.
Uh-huh.
And finally he called me and invited me for an audition just to come for Shabbos to Daven. So I told him, listen, you know, I have already a shtela for the, you know, upcoming Yom HaNoraim, and I already signed the contract, I have the commitment. I'm not auditioning these days. I may agree to do it as, you know, as a payment, you know, for payment. Somehow he convinced me, come do it. And we have a wonderful kiddush. You must see. Well, we have duck salad. We have this. He convinces, you know. If you want Mark Schneier can convince anyone to come. And, you know, the Hampton Synagogue is such a marvelous place.
Yes.
I ended up going there. And, you know, before you know it, and that after Kabbalah Shabbos, you know, after I finished my marriage services, they're already discussing me the terms. So, you know, it was incredible. Things just happened in a very, very mysterious way.
Northern Beshert. It was Beshert.
Yes, yeah. And this, you know, this, Charlie, this was just the beginning of the road. I mean, you know, yes. We still have a long way to go and to, you know, it's very important that I'll tell you that as much as I'm honored by you presenting me as one of the outstanding cantors of today's world, when I hear the past cantors and I compare notes, I see how much, you know, how much more effort and time and investment I need to put in to become something of that sort, you know, of the legendary golden age chazanim. You mm-hmm. know that, you know, that's something aspiration that I have. I do not see myself as a finished product yet. You know, there's still a long, long way to go.
No, but you have trained yourself. I mean, you've been undergoing rigid voice training. I know about that, and it has paid off. That's for sure.
I think that every work, you know, every regime, every work, steady uh-huh. work, you know, pays off at the end. I think it's very important to always feel as a chazan that, you know, you're not yet accomplished. You haven't yet reached your peak,
mm-hmm.
and you still have a lot of work to do in order to reach new peaks and to gain some more advantages, to reach new highs.
By the way, just a comment about your rabbi, Mark Schneier. He listened to my radio show 25 years ago. I had never mm-hmm. met him. I was a Jersey boy, and when I finally came to the city and we met each other, I was staggered to hear that he was a great fan of my show in those days. And he and his father are rare in that they have an appreciation for the meaning that the role that a chazan plays in enhancing the service. And that's one of the problems today. A lot of rabbis fight the idea of a chazan, and they don't realize what a chazan can bring to the service.
You know, they end up fighting against their own congregants and against the decorum that they lost. Because most young Israel, that's the problem today. The problem is, it's not about chazanas. It's not about, you know, the art that you and I so love and cherish. It's about the decorum. It's about, do you feel the gap that you, the rabbi, has created in your congregation by pushing out the tradition of chazanas or the leading of the Baal Tefillah, the leadership of the Baal Tefillah, out of your synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, it becomes such a vacuum, and the decorum suffers greatly from that. Most synagogues today, they lack decorum. There's a lot of talking, and nothing is going on, and rightfully so. Yeah. Because you have nothing, you know, if you go to a concert hall, you don't need to shush anyone. And everyone knows to be quiet,
right.
Because something is going on. There's a stage, and someone is performing, and everyone are concentrated in what he's doing. And when the rabbi is speaking on the pulpit, there is no problem of decorum. Why? Because people listen to what the rabbi say. And he's a master of his craft. He knows how to deliver a sermon. But when you take the chazan out of the omelet, what you do, you create some kind of a vacuum that no one can fill. You
yes.
ask your balabatim to do it, but they're not professional. It's not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So in very, very few congregations today, unfortunately, you have proper decorum. It's not about chazan, it's about how to run a synagogue. And Mark Schneier, Rabbi Mark Schneier, and Rabbi Arthur Schneier, are one of the only people, unfortunately, that really understand that importance.
Yes.
Because they want their synagogue to have proper decorum.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, how can you have that type of ruach, you know, this type of spirit in a synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
How can you elevate the service? How can you have people's attention?
Sure.
Without, sure. you know, without a proper leadership of a Baal Tefillah.
Yeah, it really is not.
I live in Teaneck.
Yes.
I live in Teaneck, New Jersey, and I see this constant problem of decorum. People talk and talk, and they don't even know why they come to shul.
I gave
they challenged the ask themselves.
Yeah, I gave a talk on Rosenblatt in Teaneck a month or so ago, and you know, afterwards we were having a discussion, and I said, here is a community with 14 or 15 Orthodox shuls. Okay, you bring in Motzen once in a while, and Nathanael Herstick does a concert here and there, but you cannot find, this whole community cannot find one chazen to support, and I once thought of a solution was to form a choir first, you know, to get a community Teaneck choir and make that sort of a incubator, if you will, to get people more interested in some serious music, and then the chazen would be joined in. But it's still a dream that I have.
No, Charlie, I would say that most likely those who came to listen to your lecture probably enjoyed it tremendously, because I've listened to your lectures. They're fascinating. When you bring Yesala to life with this recordings, the special gramophone that you bring with you, it's really outstanding. But I'm sure that you're preaching to the choir at the time.
Yes, yes.
If you really want the change to happen, it needs to. The rabbis needs to really realize that they're not the only game in their show.
Well, it's a problem
of ego. It's a problem of ego. They think it's not necessary. Why would you spend money on that?
Yeah,
I'm the only one who needs to get a salary.
Right.
I'm the only one who the synagogue really needs to spend money on. I'm the focus. I'm the center. I'm everything.
Yes.
But the rabbi is missing. Okay, gesund. Okay, have it your way. Look what happened in the last 30 years. Look what happened to our services. Look what happened as a result.
Yes.
It's not about chazanas. It's about how to ruin the decorum in your shul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Rabbanim did consistently, and they keep on doing it.
Yeah, they see the cantor as a threat rather than as an asset, and it's screwed up.
it's very screwed up. And by the way, we're the victims. Every Shabbos, we are the victims.
Uh-huh.
When we daven in these shuls, this uninspiring, dry experience, it's like going to a Shabbos table and eating dry bread.
Mm-hmm.
The Shabbos without any taste, without any special effort to make it beautiful, or an effort by someone who is unqualified to, you know, to provide the goods. If someone doesn't know how to cook, go to the store and buy something good. But don't serve dry bread or burned chicken on Shabbos night, because you ruin the Shabbos for everyone.
Yes.
And then what happens all over the United States today, unfortunately, very unfortunately.
Well, perhaps it's a question of education. I don't know. I'm always hopeful that the wheel will start to turn, you know, and I do think young people are discovering chazanas. Not a lot of them, but there are a number of young people, and I think as they progress in their shuls, perhaps they'll demand it. I don't know. I've spoken to a lot of people on these interviews, and there's unfortunately a lot of pessimism about it, and I think it's deserved. But I don't want to give up, and I know you don't.
No, you should never give up. But that said, I must say that I have criticism for the rabbis, but I also have criticism for the chazan, not only for the rabbis, because we do not live in 1930 something. We do not live 50 years ago. As much as there is a need to preserve the old, there is a need to renew. There is a need to bring new styles and new ruach, to present the current, how should I put it? You know, you have 20 years old and 15 years old kids listening to you. I'm not talking about the kids who are mad about chazanas, who discovered it.
Yes.
Tell me about those who have no connection to it whatsoever, because it sounds very foreign to them. And how do you get them to listen to that special expression of a chazan? Because it's a special, it's a unique, authentic expression that has hundreds of years of roots. You know, it has musical roots. It goes back many, many years. It's authentic. It's real. But it's unfamiliar, and you need to open the door. And I believe that many chazanim you know, when they go to, let's say that they do have an opportunity to present the Chazanos to other congregations, they look at this as an opportunity to bring out, you know, the best numbers and to give a Shabbos until 1:30 or 2 o'clock. So the Chazanos Mevinim are happy, but 75% are too tired, and the experience was a little bit too tedious for them. Because they were exposed to a light in a very, you know, suddenly exposed to something in a very, very harsh way. Even I daven in the Hampton Synagogue every Shabbos with a choir. I'm very much aware of the fact that a lot of my listeners, a lot of the people who come there to daven are not necessarily per se Chazanos lovers. Now, if I give one piece instead of 10, it didn't really make a lot of difference, because that one piece that I gave, if I gave my heart there, if I expressed what I had to express, and I gained the attention and the respect of the non-Chazanos lover, Dayenu. That's what I had to do.
Yeah, you have because to touch their soul. You have to touch their souls.
Exactly. Yes. So, you can touch the soul 10 times. You can do it once.
Mm-hmm.
Depends how much he's capable of eating. You know, you don't have to eat a lot in order to enjoy. You can start by eating a little bit and then thinking about it.
A little appetizer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Shabbos that is long, the Shabbos that is like presenting the greatest pieces of Chazanos and Chazan, every two sentences stops to bring the heavy hitters, you know. He definitely satisfies the Chazanos lovers who came to listen to him from all over the place. But that shul that he went to, he missed a lot of congregants because it was too much for them. They can take it maybe once a year. They'll never take it as a regular leadership of the Amud.
Right.
Where the Chazanos is really, we should always remember, it's not, you know, it's not only a performing art. It's not only concert pieces. It's mainly the leadership of the Amud. It's about Tfila that the Chazan needs to have much before the concert artist or before the big pieces, the big voice, the high notes, the glory, the acrobatics that Chazan do. All these are collateral. What's really important and the main thing, the core, is the leadership of the Amud. If a Chazan knows how to lead the service properly, the Nusach, the pace of the davening. And Shabbat Chazanot is actually, if you're asking me, Charlie, maybe 20 years ago it was different, but today, Charlie, if you're asking me, when I'm going for Shabbat Chazanot, I insist that I do not go after 12. If I start at 9, the davening will end at 12. And it doesn't matter how much you pay, because I know it will not be successful if it will go after 12. If it will be successful for those who love Chazanot, it will be horrendous for those who don't like Chazanot.
Yes.
And I will create more animosity or strange. How they say, they will feel more estranged to Chazanot because of that.
Well, obviously, when Benny and I ran our weekends, it was for the lovers. So what we would do, we'd have chakras, and at 11, we would break for a kiddush for an hour, and then they'd come back, and Musaf would, you know, go from 12 to 1:30. But these were for the fans. You're talking about when you do a Shabbos Chazanot in a shul that is not accustomed to having a chazan.
Well, you and Ben did something that historically would be discussed in the history of Chazanut. You really broke the records when it comes to exposure of Chazanut and how much Chazanut was out there to the public. You really you did something that no one before you did. But that's a separate issue. That's celebrating the art of Chazanos.
Right.
And that's not what I'm talking about.
No, we got to bring him to the Umid. Look, it's no good to just have a concert and to hear someone get up there and sing a Rosenblatt piece. It's the important thing, and the thing that I struggle with. I was saying, if every shul in America, I want to have Chazanos month. You know, they have turn Shabbos and turn Friday night into Shabbos or something like that. Oh, Shabbos around America. I want to have Chazanos around America for a month. Every shul should bring one chazan. Can you imagine if every shul would bring one chazan for one Shabbos, even once or twice a year? You have a lot of chazanim out there working, and
That's true.
it would be an interesting
That's true.
thing. It's just a thought that I've been playing
That's true.
with.
But you know, that said, we also need to work very hard on producing enough good chazanim for, you know, to take
True.
that role.
True.
We have a lack. We do have a lack, even though we have many talented young people who can sing one shtickle very well. I've yet to have heard many young chazanim who knows how to daven well, which are two different things. And Charlie, you will probably agree with me that not every cantor who can sing well in a concert can give a good davening on Shabbos.
There's no
Now,
question.
when we talk
There's
about
no
the great
question.
chazanim, when we talk about the great chazanim that you probably heard in, you know, in your life, we're talking about people like Moshe Stern. We're talking about David Bagley, my father, and Beit Zion. They know how to daven. They know how to lead the service. Yaakov Motzen, they lead the service every Shabbos. They have something different to bring to the table. The nusach is rich. It's full of flavors. And most young chazanim today, you know, not most, but I mean, I don't think we have enough great chazanim to lead the amud properly, and that's what we're missing.
Well, I think
That's what
you're
we're
right.
missing
And
out.
by the way, I think a lot of shuls have been turned off because of a lack of an exposure, because they had an exposure to a poor chazan, to a chazan that was supposedly acting as a chazan, but he actually turned people off because he didn't do the proper nusach. And also perhaps didn't even have a good voice. I mean, I cringe sometimes. I go into a shul and I hear somebody up at the umid, and that person is acting like he's a Caruso, but nobody's telling him he's really not.
Yeah, well, the main thing also is that if you are a Caruso, let's say that you were, let's say for the sake of the matter, we managed to bring Caruso to life and teach him how to sing one chazanus piece properly. What does he do with the rest? Does he know how to really lead the Amud? If Pavarotti would sing chazanus, one piece of chazanus, would he be a good chazan? No. The answer is no. Because you need to know how to lead the service, how to run, how to, you know, to pace yourself. In certain places you need to go faster, certain places you need to go slower, you need to change it, to play with it. It's a leadership.
Sure.
It's a leadership the same it's the leadership of the Amud, the same thing that the rabbi is the leadership from the pulpit, the chazan is the leader of the Amud. And when you don't have a leader there, it doesn't matter what voice you have. It can be a horrendous experience when you have someone with a beautiful voice who doesn't know how to lead the service. We have
True.
no nusach. I've seen examples where people with really marvelous, well-coached voices who went to the Amud, and the result was not pleasant. It's great in a concert hall. It's not good in the Amud.
Right.
So, you know. But, you know, fortunately, we do have some, you know, some marvelous chazanim, my peers, my colleagues. You know, we have Yanky Lemmer. We have Zevi Muller in New York. We have
Chaim David
Chaim David
Berzin,
Berzin.
Ozzie
And
Schwartz,
we really, actually, New York, Ari Schwartz. We have Gideon Zellermeyer. We have, New York is really full of wonderful chazanim today, young chazanim.
Young, yes. It's at least we have it here. It's great living in the city. So this is I've appreciated your expressing your thoughts, and I congratulate you on I hate to say job, but it's more than a job, but that you do at the Hampton Synagogue, and I know how the congregation really, really looks forward to your davening and your chanting. It's and I've been there many times, and it's unique, and it's and the choir, by the way, of course, your choir is one of the finest in the country, if not in the world.
This is how fortunate I am to daven with such a great choir every Shabbos, under the leadership of Yitzhak Chaimov.
Yes.
And by the way, another thing that this is why I don't go a lot for Shabbosim, because I also always want to bring my choir with me. And why is that? And why is that? Because I also believe that the experience that I can bring with a choir is very, very it's very different with the experience I can bring without a choir.
No question.
And
no
with
question,
the choir, no my the palette is so much wider. You know, the possibilities of expression are so different, and mm-hmm. the music is so more varied. So that in this way, I can really cater to so many different people in the crowd. And when I do so, I really feel that I can connect even the non-Chazanus lovers to the service.
Yes.
And it's really actually successfully done in Tinek. Whereas if I would go by myself to Daven, as a Shliach Tzibur, I doubt how many non-Chazanus lovers would dare to stay. Mm-hmm. Because they would be afraid it will be too long, it will be too empty. They hear a Chazan voice, they already have an allergy to it, you know. In Tinek, it worked, even though, despite of all the non-Chazanus lovers in my shul, you know, we brought the choir, we threw some Leonard Cohen inside, some Billy Joel, some contemporary stuff. And because of these little candies that we gave them, that some Mevinim were plotting, oh my God, that's the Shabbos Chazanut. Yes, it's not only for you, the Chazanus Maven.
Right.
It's also to include the other person. And then when you sing the glance pieces or Kotsavitsky piece, the other person who would never ever listen to that, now he listens. Now he's open to listen to it. So, you know, hopefully we, Charlie, your effort throughout the years would carry the fruit. And we will see more leadership of the Amud, you know, in the next few years.
Okay.
As we said, the situation is very, very bad.
Well, yes, and we just have to work harder. That's all to try to change it. We may not succeed, but we can't stop trying. But I again thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, and continued success with your wonderful situation at the Hampton Synagogue, and with other adventures that you will be undertaking, because I know you started to tell about some of your other musical interests, and they're very varied. And whatever you do, I wish you much success.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Charlie. I'm actually about to release a new recording.
Uh-huh.
And we will discuss that.
Okay.
When it comes out, it will be a very beautiful celebration of Chazanut, which is a wonderful production of, you know, more than 80 musicians.
Wow. And, I'm looking forward to that.
In one of the finest studios. And have some very interesting collaboration.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure my audience is also looking forward to it.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. Shalom. Okay, that was an interview with my friend, Netanel Herstick. And I was just thinking here, I interviewed his father, Naftali, and then I had Bensian Miller and his son, Shimmy. And it's a delight. And I think there are some other father-son situations I should go after. I tried to reach Benjamin Muller. We have to figure out... How to get that. This next interview will be with my friend cantor Joel Kaplan. Pleased to have with me on the phone my good friend cantor Joel Kaplan, who is the chazan at Beth Shalom in Lawrence and is president emeritus of the Cantorial Council of America, among many other things. Shalom. How are you, Joel?
Terrific. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, during these 3 weeks, I'm using the opportunity to get the bios and the thoughts of many of those who are leaders in Chazanut, and you are one of them. So, let's start out by where you were born and where you were raised.
Sure. I was born in Borough Park, Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Your listeners may know where that is. it was different Borough Park. Actually, my mother was born in Borough Park, and still lives there.
Uh-huh.
And my grandfather was a doctor in Borough Park.
Oh, really?
So it's like 100 years of Borough Park.
Uh-huh. You're an old-timer then.
Old-timer, right. I was raised in Borough Park. I went to Eitz Chaim, which is Hebron Institute of Borough Park, which is no longer with us. And I went to Yeshiva University High School, which in Boys, Brooklyn, which is no longer with us. and that I won't say where I went after that because I don't want to give anybody an evil eye.
Okay. How did you become interested in Chazanut?
So that is my father, Oliver Shalom, was a big fan, I suppose is the right word, of Rabbi Shor in Bethel, in Borough mm-hmm. Park. He actually, my father liked Chazanut, but not that wasn't what the prime attraction was. But he used to go to Bethel and Borough Park, and I would go along with him. And when I was a little kid, about 9, 10, so it was Simchas Torah, and there was no Chazan and choir davening, so a number of us boys went up to the choir loft. Then we used there was a choir loft in Bethel, which is still there, but it's not used by the choir.
Uh-huh.
And we may believe we were the choir. So one of the Balabatim said to my father, maybe you shouldn't just make believe that he's in the choir. Why don't you let him try out for the choir? Which my father did.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was I tried out for the Ben Friedman Choir, and I was accepted. And then I ultimately became a soloist with Ben Friedman. And at the end of Chazan Koussevitzky's, he passed away in August 66, and I was a soloist then, and then with Paul Zim when he took over, when he succeeded Chazan Koussevitzky.
Okay. So those were great days. I think choirs are very important, and they play such a great role in laying the foundation for many who get involved with Chazanus later on.
Yeah. They say that, and I don't want to prejudge anything, but they say that the best Chazanim were those who sang in choirs as a child,
mm-hmm.
because they heard pieces when they were young, and they were inculcated with music and Chazanus when they were young, and that's always a good thing.
Yes, yes. It really becomes part of their soul.
You know, mm-hmm. you know.
So then how did you progress into Chazanut?
So I continued to study. My voice started to change. I also sang on the Pirche record, Ani Mamin, Rochok Mishuasi, and Zehaya, not because I was a member of as active in Pirche, but when they did those Pirche records, they were looking for a new talent, and they saw who was in Bethel, and they recruited Yossi Sonneblick and myself, and we sang on those records, and that was also an interesting part of the of my growing up, you know, to be on a record. And so then my voice started to change. I started to study music. I went to what's now called the Lucy Moses School, which is in Lincoln Center, which was then called the Hebrew Art School for Music and Dance. I didn't
uh-huh.
do the dance part, the music part, and studied piano and studied Chazanus with Tzvi Aroni, Chazan Tzvi Aroni Oliver Shalom, and then studied voice privately. And then it was a different time. It was much easier, frankly, to get positions. And so when I was, I think, 19, I got my first position, Musaf Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Where was that?
So that was interesting. I was in Young Israel of South Orange, which was Rabbi Zev Siegel, Olav Shalom.
Oh, yes.
Who was the rabbi of Young Israel of Newark.
Well, that's Nachum Siegel's dad.
That's right.
Yes.
So I met Nachum about over 40 years ago.
Really?
And I sang, that was my first Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I remember my first faux pas, Nachum and I laugh about it, which is Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre night.
Uh-huh.
So I look in the Machzor, and it, next thing is Baruch Hu. And I start with Baruch Hu. And before I get to God's name, and they're putting the Sifrei Torah back, and they're looking at me, and I'm figuring they're looking at me, I'm the Chazan. And then before I could get to God's name in Baruch Hu, Rabbi Zev Siegel says, Chazan, we will now have a sermon. and then when he finished his sermon, he said, we will now continue davening as a chazan is anxious to continue. So I never made that mistake again, Charlie.
Now, by the way, you said South Orange. Wasn't it in Newark, New Jersey?
Yes, he was in Newark. I think it was the largest Orthodox shul in New Jersey. And then the riots broke out.
Yeah, 67 riots. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, just as an aside, I interviewed Rabbi Zev Siegel on my one of my earlier programs,
right.
And I gave Nachum a copy of that, and he never knew that his dad had recorded that. It was about a 20-25 minute interview. He was very active in Jewish causes.
Oh, yeah. He was a fascinating man.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So then after that?
And then after that, so then the next year, I was Rosh Yom Kippur. I was in a congregation, Kings Bay, in Sheepshead Bay.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I got very fortunate. I was a chazan for the year, once a month, and all the Yom Tovim in Bradley Beach.
Bradley Beach, New Jersey?
Yeah, Bradley Beach, New Jersey.
Come on, you know, you just wore my heart. You know, I grew up in Newark, and all of Newark, the Jewish part of Newark that had 50,000 Jews,
right.
We used to go to Bradley Beach for the summer, and it was the most fantastic thing to be on the beach there, because
yeah.
It was all you know, all the Jews from the great ghetto of Newark.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
What years were you in?
I was there just 1 year because I was in law school. I was about 39. This about let's see, probably in the 70s.
Okay,
middle 70s.
Okay,
and then. I was fortunate again. I became the chazan in Ocean Avenue Jewish Center in Brooklyn for the next 10 years, and that was also the Wonder Bread years for me. You get to daven really regularly. I daven twice a month at all the Yom Tovim, and it was just a wonderful experience. Wonderful Rabbi Berg, and wonderful congregants, and it was in Brooklyn. It was New York City, and it was great to be, in near home.
Yes, in the heartland.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Then after Ocean Avenue?
Ocean Avenue, then we moved to Far Rockaway, my mm-hmm. family. We bought a house in Far Rockaway.
Uh-huh.
And I figured, well, that would be, who knows what it would be. I was going back to Ocean Avenue the first year after we moved to Davin, but that wasn't a real long-term situation. And like Chazonim, I like to, like the Davin in a big shul, so as a balabas, so I went to the white shul when I wasn't davening in Brooklyn, and they found out, they asked me to daven once, twice, and then at one point they said, would you like to become the chazan? Because there was no chazan, yearly chazan there, and I said, yeah, sure. Because for them it was a good idea, because I didn't have to relocate.
Uh-huh.
I lived there already, and
yes.
For me it was terrific, because great to continue. And White Shul is a very prestigious shul. It was wonderful to be with Rabbi Pelkovitz, Rabbi Flaum. It was a wonderful experience.
Hmm. Okay, that was up until what year?
That was until 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then 12 years ago, when my predecessor at Beth Shalom, Chazan Ehrlich, retired, and so then I tried out there, and I was fortunate again to be there for the last 12 years with the most wonderful rabbi that a chazan could ever expect to have, Rabbi Hain, and wonderful, wonderful balabatim. And then we... we continued the choir that we started in the White Shul.
Right.
In the White Shul, the last 3 years, what happened was every year we'd have a guest chazan. And 1 year, Chazan Malavani was the guest chazan, and we decided we're going to make a makeshift choir. And we did, and it sort of piqued everyone's interest. So with the support of the shul, we made a more formal choir with men and kids.
Mm-hmm.
We asked Benny Amar to be the choir leader, and we did that for a few years, the last 3 years, and then we moved to Beth Shalom. Some of the fellows who were in the choir and the White Shul came with me, and we had new members from Beth Shalom and from the community. And then the last 7 years, So we have Eric Freeman, Cant Eric Freeman, as choir lead, and we're much more, professional.
Yes.
Four-part harmonies and reading some music, and you've been to our concerts.
It's sure, really, sure. I love it, and we're friendly with Mel Young,
yeah,
and
sure.
His father-in-law was Jesse Aronson.
Exactly, so, right, Jesse Aronson, special choir.
I love to see the enthusiasm that they have. It looks like a sort of a brotherhood there.
Yes, it is. You hit it on the head. You know, it is. It's people that are professionals who are, successful in their careers, but they have one love that really they're able to indulge here. And he's very strict with them.
Mm-hmm.
Eric is.
Yes.
But you know what? They all know it's for the right cause, and it pays off. And when in the sound, and it's just, I'm so proud of them, and they do a great job.
Well, you are fortunate. Not only is the rabbi committed, but the members of the shul, and
yes.
You've pulled something off that Cantor's World never could. You run profitable annual concerts, and they're always the greatest. I mean, they're each year. You wonder how you're going to outdo the previous one.
That's true. You're right. We have two prime sponsors are Ben and Linda Brafman,
yes.
and Joel and Dr. Sherry Wiener,
uh-huh.
and then a whole bunch of other sponsors as well, but they're the prime sponsors. And, as you know, we have Chazen Helfgott for the last number of years.
Yes.
And then we have other talent this year. We had Yanky Lemmer and Chaim David Burson, myself, and then the choir.
Right.
So it's just, and it's a good mix. It's not all heavy chazanis, as we say, or classic chazanis. It's
right.
A big mix of everything. And I think people really, really, really enjoy it because we had, as we usually have about 900 people at the concert.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It's, I'm jealous.
Yeah, well.
Benny and I always talk about, can we come back someday? And somehow we'll figure it out.
We're rooting for you.
I am very honored that you've arranged for me to be at your shul Slichus evening, Motzi Shabbos.
Yes, for your presentation.
Presentation.
We look forward to it.
Yes, of Yesla Rosenblatt, yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it'll be an honor for me to be involved with your shul.
I mean, that shows you, the type of person that Rabbi Hain is, and I mentioned to him, we will try to figure out a slot that would be good. And then he thinks for a second, and he says, perfect, Pre-Slichus, which you always have a program.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, it was just a perfect fit. The only downside of it, Charlie, is that you may have to hear me daven Slichus.
Oh,
okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Cantorial Council.
So, I became a president I think we were in Israel at our convention 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was president for 4 years, and then after that became honorary president. The thrust of the CCA is to promote Nusach HaTfila and Chazanut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our focus, frankly, now has to be less on Chazanut and more on Nusach HaTfila, because, Cy Sim said an educated consumer is our best customer.
Yes.
And I think that rings true nowadays. I think that, unfortunately, there are less shuls that consider Nusach HaTfila an essential part of the davening. It's not that they don't like it or they don't want it. It's that there's a vacuum of people who know it well enough to daven, and therefore we're losing what is a essential part of our tradition, of our Masorah. And I think our first step is to make sure that we don't lose it, and that as many people as we could reach out to, for them to know and to learn Nusach HaTfila.
Uh-huh. I understand you're going on the internet.
Yes. So Bell School, which is part of Yeshiva University, which CCA is affiliated with, is now going to have some of their courses online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unlike economics or biology, you know, one could go to any number of school of colleges throughout the country to look, to study. But when it comes to Chazonis or Nusach HaTefillah, there's only one place in the country where you could, where an Orthodox Chazon or if someone's an Orthodox person could learn Nusach HaTefillah in a formal setting with people who are experts in their field. Chazon Malavani, Chazon Bernard Beer, Chazon Goffin, Cantor Eric Freeman. And therefore, the fact that we could now, that Bells could now offer these courses to anybody in the country, in the world, in the world, is a big breakthrough.
Well, I certainly wish you and them great success in this because, as you say, it's a matter of education. The whole idea of Chazonis itself is, I think, a process of education also.
Right, right. And and I think that Nusach HaTefillah is the first step. It's not that it's the end of it. Is that if someone likes, if someone knows Nusach HaTefillah, then the elaboration of Nusach HaTefillah will be the next step, which is what Chazonis really is. Or they'll appreciate the musicality of Chazonis. And that can't happen unless they, you know, are educated into what, to what Nusach HaTefillah sounds like.
This week on my program, which is the first week of the 3 weeks, I interviewed Yossi Molavani, and at the end of that, I made the announcement, so I'm going to make the announcement as part of this also. I said, Yossi, we've been talking for years about doing a series of lectures on my show about Nusach HaTefillah, and I am... Now, since it's out there, I can't deny it, and you know, time has a way of running by. But it's one of the projects that Yossi and I are going to tackle.
Oh, that's great!
I don't know if it'll be like a series of 3 or 4 half-hour sessions, whatever it turns out to be, whatever is needed. It's something that I feel should be part of what I'm doing. I mean,
that's great.
Because I confess, I myself am not conversant with Nusach, and it's a selfish reason that I'm doing this because I need to learn.
Good.
I understand it, but I don't know it.
Right, right. Well, there's no one, I think, in the world that would be a better teacher. He's not only an expert, Chazon Malavani, in Nusach HaTefillah, that goes without saying. But he's a great teacher. He's a very interesting teacher. He keeps your attention,
yes.
And I think that's a great choice.
And we're going to do it at his apartment where he's sitting at the piano, so it's going to be particularly good.
That's fantastic.
Well, Joel, where do you think Chazonis is going?
I think, you know, there was a little bit of a renaissance, or maybe a big bit of a renaissance when you and Benny were promoting, with, you know, at Cantor's World, and that was wonderful, and we hope that that will happen again. But meanwhile, you know, I think in the Hasidic communities, I think there's a love of it, and there's a lot of talent there, and I think that once we get the rest of the world, of the shul world, to appreciate Nusach HaTefillah, I think that we could then move on to them appreciating Chazonut. It's the language of our people, and when we need to pray, which we need to do all the time, particularly in this world, Charlie, you know that as much as more than anybody else from your other life, that we need to pray, and that we pray from our heart with Chazonis. That's an important part of a Jew's life, and hopefully we'll be back. We'll be back.
Well, we have to keep fighting. That's for sure. And
yes.
I'm not giving up, and you're not giving up. So that's
well, you're one of the reasons that, and I you're one of the reasons that we have a shot at coming back, because your love and passion for it, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
Thank you.
And number two, the fact that you use all your resources The show and the email blasts. You have the best, the most passionate fan base. Also, that's a very important part of the rebirth of Chazon Us.
Well, we
appreciate that. Everyone in all the Chazonim really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Joel. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and I'm sure we'll be getting together soon. Certainly, Motzi Shabbos for Slichus, but I'm sure before then.
Great.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Great. Okay, so those were two very interesting interviews. I hope you found them as interesting as I did. And I'm going to be continuing doing this. Next week, I guess the 3 weeks will be over. And what I plan to do is, for the first hour, for several weeks thereafter, I'm going to be playing interviews. But the second hour will return with Chazonus, with the great cantorial music. If you have any comments or requests, I'm always interested and enjoy hearing from you. And by the way, if you're not getting the calendar, that's the cantorial news and update that I send out every month. Get on the email list at cbjmusic@aol.com. Well, you're listening on the internet, and you know on the homepage, in the left-hand side, there's a box which says sign up for the calendar. So just put in your email, and you'll be set. So thank you so much, and shalom.